seed of Abraham, and the blessing rest upon you. Will still take an example and try to pin it on New Covenant believers and say, this is what's going to happen to you because it happened to them. No, you got to say, no, it's not, because I'm operating under a new and better covenant that's based on the blood of Jesus, better blood, praise God. Amen. You have to know whom Jesus was speaking to. The Bible basically was written to three people groups. And so you got to figure out whom Jesus was speaking to. The first people group the Bible was written to, the Old Testament, basically, we're going to say was Israel. Much of the Old Testament, the majority of the Old Testament, was written to Israel as a people group, the Jewish people, which you're not a Jewish person. But Paul said all the scriptures now were given to you for your learning. So you would know about it. Not to try to convert to Judaism. It's impossible for you to convert to Judaism, but we see Christians all the time trying to convert over to Judaism, which is impossible. Because you have to be born a Jew, and then if you're a male, you have to be circumcised on the, is it the seventh or eighth day? You know, you have to be circumcised, and then you're disqualified because by the age of 12, you have to be able to quote five scriptures. No, the five books of Moses. The first five books of the Bible. You can't even get a Christian to quote five scriptures. In fact, if we gave the Christians in this church a test and write down five scriptures and give references to those, people would be cheating off each other. They'd be looking. But you saw, to try to convert to Judaism is not what God wants you to do, because it's not written to you. It's written for your learning. You can study that and learn how God brought them forth and how God was so patient with murmuring people. But for you to say God's going to do it unto you or your neighbor like he did unto them is wrong, because it was a different covenant altogether. Amen. We're not under that covenant. But people will read certain things that happened in the Old Testament. And this is before the sacrificed lamb. Jesus Christ came and satisfied all the debt of sin. And, you know, we're still operating under that penalty of, you know, when you did wrong, wrong came upon you, you know. And so that was the problem there. Sin was rampant in the earth and God flooded the earth. You know, there was all kinds of calamities that happened. And so people will still take an example and try to pin it on New Covenant believers and say, this is what's going to happen to you because it happened to them. No, no. You got to say, no, it's not, because I'm operating under a new and better covenant that's based on the blood of Jesus. Better blood, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, first of all, people groups, number one is Israel. Then number two is the lost nations. Some of the things that are written in the Bible is talking about the lost nations of this earth, judgments that shall come upon them. You know, you say, is America under that? Well, I'm not the one that will be able to say America's under that, but I know this much. All of America cannot be under it, because there's a lot of Christians right here. Amen. We find an example over in the Old Testament. If we could just find a few righteous people, God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He could not. Amen? He said, you know, was it 30 that he started off with? 40, 30, you know, went down to 10, and he couldn't even find anybody. He said, if you must go over there and find 10 righteous people, I will not destroy. You see, God was long-suffering. Amen. Now, we got over 10 righteous God believers right here in Washington, and we're preventing judgment.
Amen.
Amen. And much of judgment is not while we live here. Amen. It's when we're taken from here. Amen. So it's not when we again after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes and catches us away. So that's a subject for another day, not for today, for sure. But then you'll have the third people group the Bible is speaking to is the born-again believers. The new covenants, the church, the believing people, praise God. In the believing people that are married, they're neither male nor female, praise God. Amen? There's neither male nor female in this kingdom, Paul mentioned. So you see right here, we're born again, and so you have to understand whom the scripture is speaking to. Going back to this one scripture right here. Notice what could be the possible subject of this scripture. You know what scripture I'm talking about. I want you to see right here, the word idol word is unemployed. The word idol in the Greek is the word unemployed. If you want to change your life, why don't you employ yourself? Why don't you get a job? Employ yourself. Employ the potential that you have through your words. The system of this world, the system of lack and labor, is not to control the believer, because there's an economy in this kingdom that we should be tapping into. The church should be tapping into. So it says that every unemployed word that men shall speak. So when Jesus just throws out the term that men shall speak, he is not referring to the born again man. The born again man. He's not referring to men. He's talking about men under another covenant. But let's just say when you get to heaven, the first person you're going to see is Peter standing at the, you know, they tell you at the gate, and he's going to let you in, and he's going to say, come in, and then he's going to give you a tour of heaven. This is just all fictitious. You know, I don't know what happens when a person goes. But anyway, and then just say God takes you to the God Mart of heaven. And you go into God Mart, and you see all the great blessings. And you say, wow, look at all these blessings, body parts, healthy minds, healthy children, everything that I needed on earth. And he tells you all of these things are yours, but they belong to you when you were on earth. You don't need any of these now in heaven. These were all intended for my people on earth. And then you say, well, how come you, God, did not give them to me? And he says, I will not override your words to perform my words.
Amen.
Because in this kingdom, you have to use your words to employ and to empower yourself. And you cannot just say anything you want. So if you have idle, unemployed words, they will prevent you from walking in dominion and authority. That's why you have to take authority over your words if you want to operate in this kingdom. You just can't say anything that comes to your mind.
Amen.
And it's just like the gumball machine, you know. My granddaughter wanted something out of the gumball machine. They had this big one, you know, and when you put it in there, you know, 50 cents, it rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls around a little track, and all of a sudden it goes, and it falls down in there. And that's what happens to people as soon as a thought comes. It rolls around and it just falls out on their tongue. And they just say whatever comes to their mind. But between your mind and your mouth, you have got to take authority over your words and begin to declare what God says in the Constitution that belongs unto you instead of your feelings.
Amen.
Because what you're saying is what you see in the natural world. What you're saying is what you feel. And man, it's just, and I shouldn't even say this word, it's just depressing. It's just depressing when all you have is natural people saying natural things when they could be tapping into the potential, because they've been created in the image and likeness of God, and this kingdom is awaiting you. Everything that's in the God Mart is yours. You can go buy the lawnmower, the house department, the blessing department. Everything is yours, but your words will not count your future.
Amen. All right.
Praise the Lord. Look at the next verse right here. And he said, by thy words thou art justified, by thy words thou art condemned. So now Jesus took it to another level. So you see, right now, Jesus now, he spoke to men, but now it seems like Jesus is speaking to everybody. He's speaking to everybody. It's time to quit Kim Jong. It's time to praise God. And so what he said right here, now notice, he said, by thy words, thy words, thou shalt be justified. By thy words, thou shalt be condemned. So we can't say it's up to God. Proverbs 12:18 tells you that, you know, that your lips produce health. Deuteronomy 30, verse 18, 19, it says, I set before you life and death. Yes. You know, blessing and cursing, choose life. Amen. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, tells you, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But the Message Bible, the Message Translation said, this scripture right here, the latter part of verse 36 and verse 37, the Message Bible, listen to me very closely. Words. Everybody say words.
Words
are powerful. Take them seriously.
Words
can be your damnation. Words can be your salvation.
Amen.
So what you have in life is not based on your parents alone anymore, because you've been refathered from above. You cannot live in this kingdom connected psychology-wise to a world that blames everything on their parents and forefathers. That I got my grandmother's back, and I got Aunt Jo's mind, and everything, you know, I have all these, you know, disorders because they had it. You cannot live in this kingdom speaking this natural world's issues over yourself and expecting God to bless you and perform His word. The central truth is this, Harold. God will not override your word to perform His word.
Amen.
Now that's a staggering statement. The Holy Spirit spoke it unto me yesterday. And I know some of you probably don't like it. But He's not going to override His word, your words, to perform your words. If He did that for one person, then all of us would just be, you know, wouldn't have to exercise any faith. But when you empower yourself with His words, you line yourself up for the blessing and the greatness that can happen on the inside of you. When you line yourself up to His health package, amen, His financial package, His peace package of your mind.
Good. That's good.
Paul, he began to talk about this. So let me say it to you this way. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. They can be your salvation or they can be your damnation. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. So, you know, Solomon of the Old Testament was one of the richest men that ever walked the face of this earth. And we're still walking on the same earth that he walked in. Walked on. You realize that? We're not, this is not Bible, you know, fairy tale stuff. We're still on the same earth. But we're operating now in a different kingdom than Solomon operated in.
Amen.
He operated under an old covenant. We're operating under a new covenant. Solomon's greatest secret was this: as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
That's his greatest, his greatest secret. That as you think, you become. But Solomon never shared with you how to control what you think. Jesus came along and began to reveal things about your thinking. He said, take no thought saying it. Don't take a thought by saying it. When a thought comes, don't say it. Meaning, what you say is greater than your thoughts. Solomon's greatest secret, as you think you become. come, Jesus come along and said, there's something that overrides the way you think and can change your thinking, change your mind, change your personality. And that's your words. Your words are greater than your thoughts. Paul brought this out in Romans 12:2. He said, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Transformed by renewing your mind. Reprogramming Amen. Your mind. Yes. And this is much of what Ryan Yen has taught, reprogramming your mind, which is not an easy thing. You want to know what the fight of faith is? It's reprogramming your mind. It's reprogramming the way you think. That's the fight of faith. It's not for wimps. It's not for lazy Christians. It's not for Christians that want God to do everything for them. Pretty much they're the same class of people that become very oppressed by life because they start blaming God. How come, God, you've done this and allowed this? And how come you haven't done anything for me? Well, God's not going to override your words to perform His words. When your words are unemployed, full of death, fear, discouragement, sickness, and disease, you can get in every healing line you want. But it's not going to, bring about power until you simply line up your words with His words. All you have to do is line up your words with the constitution of this kingdom. You are a royal citizen of this kingdom. The devil has no power legally over you.
Amen.
The only way he has power is if, like Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, I think, he said, don't give him any place. Don't give the devil any place. How would you do that? He mentioned corrupt communication that proceeds out of your mouth. He said bitterness that comes out of your mouth. He said, you're giving the devil, place when you allow corrupt communication. Proceed out of your mouth. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Y'all ready to wrap this up? I'm ready to wrap it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Write these things down right here. In order to be a master of the unseen kingdom. And to be a master means that you're no longer a slave. That's the great thing. Because the way you think causes you to live on the plantation of slavery. But your words are the proclamations of freedom. Your words are. And so in order for you to be a master of the kingdom, number one, you have to know that there is an unseen kingdom. You have to know there is one. You can't believe what I'm sharing with you is just a fairy tale. You've got to believe the Bible is about an unseen kingdom. And we're citizens of it right now. Hallelujah. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Paul said we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven right now in Philippians. So number one, you've got to know there is an unseen kingdom. Number two, you've got to know in this kingdom, knowledge is the empowerment of it. Knowledge is the empowerment of it, not holiness. Knowledge is the empowerment. The old church taught holiness was the empowerment of Christianity. The holier you were. But in this kingdom, knowledge is the empowerment of it, and it produces the holy living. I guess that just went over some of your head. You probably don't know what I'm referring to. Number three, in this kingdom, you've got to know in this kingdom that you are already a king and a queen. Amen. You're not trying to be a good Christian. That's just enough to make you just want to spit. What are you doing? I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Well, you might as well quit that because you're failing if you're trying. Amen. You need to be what you are. You're a child of God. You are a king. You are a queen. When you talk to the devil, you talk in authority. You command him like Jesus commanded him. When the devil spoke up in church out of that person, Jesus said, shut up.
Amen.
He told him to shut up. He said, just go ahead and shut your mouth. That's just what Jesus said. Okay, the fourth thing is to know that in this kingdom, you can still be in this kingdom and still live in bondage if you do not exercise your rights.
Amen.
In this kingdom, you can live in this kingdom all of your life. And people will put a pin on there. I've been a part of the church for 48 years. You know, I got a pledge pin right here. I've been a part of the church 50 years. Grandma was a founding member. You know, she founded, she was a, what do they call it? Not a founding member. They call it a charter member, that's what they call it. You know, I'm a charter member of the church. But just being part of this kingdom does not mean that you're going to receive from God.
Amen.
Just like recently, I was over in Shreveport and I went to pray for this lady. She's a doctor. And she's got a according to the doctors, not according to our kingdom, a tumor in her brain, down inside of her brain. So we went over and we began to minister to her after we left. The person that I was ministering to her with said unto me, if any person deserved to get healed based on their goodness, it's that woman. Because she has been good all of her life. From a child to a teenage year, never drank, never was rebellious, was in a singing group most of her life. In her adult life, she was good. She did good. She always acted good. If a person receives based on that, she should get it. But nobody receives from God based on that.
Amen.
But you hear it all the time.
That's right. Yeah.
And it causes people's mind to be warped about them receiving because they say, well, I haven't been that good. Nobody receives from God based on how good they have been in life. It has nothing to do with your faith. What is the empowerment of this kingdom? The knowledge of the Constitution. And I want to tell you, right when I walked in their house, I looked up and there was a steeple, man, just a huge steeple like a block away from their house. I mean an old, tiny, huge, massive architectural steeple. And I said, hey, I got one question. Man, what is that steeple to? And the person that's there talking to this lady every day said, oh, that's the First Baptist Church. You know they only have service one time a week, and you believe that? And I said, maybe it only takes them one time a week to get everything they need.
Amen.
And in that house, I brought up somebody because she said, well, you know, I'm from Webb City, Missouri. And I said, I did a revival there with the pastor, and I named the pastor. And they said, oh, he was such a disappointment. And I'm looking at the other friend, and I said, man, we got problems. We got a person right here that they're struggling to get healed from God. But this atmosphere is wrong. It's not conducive to miracles. Because negativity is being spoken in this home. Around this person. And they want a miracle. Well, you can't just say anything. You can say, oh, that's the First Baptist Church. Isn't that a great steeple? I look at it all the time and I just admire the beauty of it. You don't have to say anything about them having church one time. And then she said, you know, we have five services at our church. There you go, man. Thinking five services a week is going to cause, you know, you to be more spiritual. This is wrong Christianity when people think that. You know? Man, I could lay a lot on her. I said, man, I should have said, well, have you fasted for 40 days, lady? You know? But I wouldn't mess with this lady. This you mean. She scared me. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, this was a relative, and what you have, it controls the atmosphere's words do. You got to control your environment by your words. You have authority over that. So we tried to explain this unto them. It's hard for traditional people to get a hold of this sometimes. But you're getting a hold of it. You're understanding it. You're not perfect. Well, none of us are. We do make mistakes. But guess what? You're grasping what I'm saying about this kingdom and being a citizen that acknowledges the empowerment of it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Knowledge ignites your faith. Just like fear ignites, you know, the worst thing in a person. Praise the Lord.